Excuse me. Let's stand for the reading of the word. First Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 8 through 17. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And if you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day that we've set aside to thank you for all the many things that you've given us. As we know that all good things come from you, God, we thank you for this country first and foremost. As we watch the news of the rest of the world, and we realize, Lord, that your hand is still upon this country. We thank you for our community, Lord, for the people gathered today in this sanctuary, who come not just to be with family, but to be with you as you are family. Father, let us not forget to thank you, to worship you for the things you've given us, for your promises, and more than anything else, Lord, for who you are. That you will be there tomorrow, as you are today, as you were yesterday. As the ushers come forward, Lord, let us return a portion to you. Not because you told us to, not because it's a good thing to do, but just because we want to. Let us be gracious in our living, Lord. We thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.
did not mean to neglect acknowledging the new grandfather and the new great-grandfather. You guys will come in very important a little later when the grandkid needs something, money, tuition for college, you know, things like that. But until then, grandma and great-grandma will be the focus of them. We're going to turn to number 563, is it? Before we continue, 563, and count your blessings. One of the blessing, of course, is family and everything. We have a lot to be thankful for. My brother is up from Missouri, and his niece, my daughter, loves him so much. She writes him little notes, little love notes. And he found one while we were out hunting, stopped for lunch, and right there in the middle of his sandwich was a half-eaten love note from his favorite niece. So, thank God for the blessings. So we're going to count our blessings. We stand together, if you would. 563, count your blessings.
When upon my pillow you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
The last verse.
So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Comfort is in children, one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, sing them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Junior Church, you can be dismissed. I think you're going to need reinforcements today, Miss Karen. All right. Did you recruit some help? Good. All right. All right. Remain standing then as the worship team comes and we'll continue.
As we continue to worship this morning, there's a lot to be thankful for, isn't there? And often we take a lot for granted, don't we? I sure do. And this morning, as we continue in worship and song, let's just reflect on. I've already thought of some things. I'm not going to share them with you, but some things I'm thankful for this morning, just being here this morning. Being able to worship freely with others is a huge blessing for us. Sing with us this morning.
Oh, he who hears
You guys can go ahead and sit down if you'd like. This not written by Hillsong, but performed by Hillsong. It's not, it may be new to a lot of you, but it's really quite easy. And if nothing else, just really digest the words this morning. Sing with us if you can.
Thank you.
Take your Bible once again and turn to 1 Chronicles, that 16th chapter. The word thank appears 27 times in the Bible. The word thanks is found 73 times. Thankful, 3 times. Thankfulness, just one time, while thanksgiving is recorded 28 times, so that's a total of 132 times that the word thank, or some derivative thereof, appears in the Bible. It appears in various contexts. In Colossians 3:15, it's a command or an imperative statement, and it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." In other words, it means keep on being thankful. It's a continuous obligation. In the context of Luke chapter 17, we have the account of the time when Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers. Remember, there were 10 lepers that came, but only one returned to give thanks. And it was that the failure of the others that the question was asked, where are the 9? Thankfulness for that which God has done ought to be appreciated. It ought to be applauded. It ought to be continuously announced. The praise and thanksgiving should make up the bulk of our prayer time. And rather than asking for more and more and more, we simply ought to be more thankful. Maybe that would be the case if we were simply more mindful of what God has done for us. We get accustomed to His blessings. Everything He does for us is out of the love He has for us, and we sometimes, like spoiled children, neglect to be simply thankful. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, there's a phrase that appears, "and neither were thankful." It speaks about those who are described in the context as those who, having known God, they were familiar with Him, they weren't ignorant of God, they knew that God exists, they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, did not give Him His rightful place, but having become vain, empty, in their imaginations and their thoughts, their foolish heart was darkened, and the result, they professed themselves to be wise, and they became fools. You see, when we forget what God has done, we forget who He is, and we imagine that we are the source of our blessings. I've done it myself. I've reached this point in life because of all of my hard work and my efforts, and we become fools because we think that we have indeed done it ourselves. We look at the Old Testament and we find that in the light of all that God had done for the nation of Israel, from their deliverance from the Egyptian bondage and the journey through the wilderness where they were fed and they were clothed and
protected. The Bible says that their clothes did not wear thin and their shoes did not wear out all the way through the wilderness, even to the time that they entered into Canaan. Yet we read that they murmured time and time again. They murmured more than they blessed God. Now we see their failings, their shortcomings in the light of history. Well, that was them. That was then. Surely I'm not like they are. So we find it easy to criticize because we assume that we would not be that way. But the truth of the matter is we have to answer the question, are we really any better? Because God has bestowed upon us benefit after benefit after benefit and blessing after blessing. We are admonished in the scriptures in Psalm 68, verse 19, says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily benefits. Psalm 103 and verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Psalm 116 and verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? We got up this morning, we looked back upon the bed that could have become our tomb during the night. But we were blessed to get up this morning and have breakfast and fellowship, come over to church and be with one another and gather together here. And we're going to have a scrumptious meal in just a hour or so, and we're going to be blessed with one another's company and be blessed by so many things that we forget to be thankful. The psalmist said in Psalm 13, verse 6, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We sang this morning, count your blessings. You know, maybe that ought to become our theme song. Count your blessings. Now in our text here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we have it is referring to, as they from, a text, a Psalm of David. It's on the occasion of a celebration when they brought the Ark of God to the tent into the city of David. They had a great celebration because they were bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. It's that same occasion when David was so overjoyed with the prospect of bringing the ark back to Jerusalem that he danced before the Lord, and his wife despised him for doing so. He was rejoicing before the Lord, and she sat back and looked at him and said, shame on you, David. You really showed yourself today. And he rebuked her and said, you know, it was before the Lord that I did this. When we look here again in First Chronicles chapter 16, says in verse 7, on that day that David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And here's the song. Give thanks to the Lord. I'm just going to hit the main words here. Notice, give thanks to the Lord, make known his deeds, verse 9, sing unto the Lord, sing psalms to him, talk you of his wondrous works, glory in his name, rejoice that seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face, remember his marvelous works and his judgments, O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. Be mindful of his ways. Be mindful always of his covenant. What David is trying to do is get the people to realize whose they are and who their God is, and that he is worthy to be praised. He rejoices in what God has done and for what God will do. Then we go over to Second Corinthians chapter 9, and that one verse there says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Now, in that context, it has to do with the generous giving of the Macedonian church as they give a love offering to help the church in Jerusalem. And Paul instructs them there about how to give that love offering. He tells them about the method and the manner, but he especially acknowledges their sacrifice. He tells them that they had given out of their poverty, out of their lack, they have willingly given to this other church in Jerusalem. And he concludes by comparing their sacrificial gift to that of God by thanking God for his unspeakable gift. Now, their gift was very, very generous. And it was but an outward expression of God's greatest gift of salvation through Christ. So Paul calls it unspeakable. It doesn't mean not able to speak about it. The word means it cannot be expounded in full. It is indescribable. It is more than words could tell. This unspeakable, indescribable gift of salvation that God has provided for mankind. So with that in mind, I want to just run through real quickly six things that we should be thankful for about this indescribable gift. First of all, we must be thankful for the all-powerful God who loved us and planned for our salvation. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is an all-powerful God who so loved us that he planned our salvation before the beginning, before Adam's first breath, foreknown in the mind of our God who dwells in eternity, unbound by time, saw the need of man yet to be created, and he determined to meet that need of man himself by giving his Son for our salvation. He planned it from before the beginning. It was pictured, you remember, in the book of Numbers by Moses with the brazen serpent. The people, due to their murmuring, due to their complaining, God sent fiery serpents among them. And the serpents bit the people, they began to die. Moses interceded. God said, make a brass serpent, put it up on a pole, and lift it up and tell the people, whoever looks will live. All had been bitten. They were all suffering. They were all going to die, but through a simple act of faith. Now, who would have thought that if you just looked at a snake on a pole, it would cure you of snake bite? That's not the way we do it today. That would be a foolish thing to say, well, just go outside, look at that snake up on the flagpole, or look at anything on the flagpole. It'll take care of your problem. We'd say, that's foolish. But this was an act of faith. Jesus said later, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What's he saying? He said, the same act of faith by looking on him on the cross crucified would bring salvation and deliverance. It was planned from the beginning. It was pictured by Moses in the wilderness. It was provided by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21 said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That name, the name Jesus, it's more than a swear word. Some people, that's all they know his name as, is a swear word. But it's more, much more than that. The scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even the last invitation in the Bible in Revelation 22 verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of that water of life freely." So first of all, we need to be thankful for an all-powerful God who loved us and planned for our salvation. Secondly, we need to be thankful for the perfect Savior who paid our penalty, God's only begotten Son, pre-incarnate in His existence, John chapter 1, prophesied in His coming by the prophets. The Bible says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them that which was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself." Then in Luke chapter 24, it says, "And He said to them, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled as it is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Pre-incarnate in His existence, prophesied in His coming, and perfect in His sacrifice. Be thankful what He did for us, because He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53 verse 7, "He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before His shearers is silent." Then John said the next day, he saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." So we have a God to be a powerful God who loves us. We have a perfect Savior who paid the penalty for us. And we have the price that purchased us. The price that purchased us. Peter penned in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, "For as much as you know, we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." See, there was a precious payment for a precious purchase. We need to be thankful for that price that was paid for us, something we could never do ourselves. Then we need to be thankful for the power that sustains us. The Bible talks about the power of the Spirit of God, that is our power to be witnesses, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It tells us in 2 Corinthians that the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption, that He is our earnest. Remember earnest money? When you intend to purchase something, but you don't have the time or the funds at your disposal, so you put a down payment on to ensure that at a later date you will complete the transaction. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He indwells us. He seals us until that day that Christ will return and the transaction will be completed. He tells us in John 16 that He saves, He sanctifies, and He satisfies. And it's the Holy Spirit Himself that testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We need to be thankful. Fifthly, we need to be thankful for the plans that He has for each and every one of us. God has not left us in this world just to deal with whatever might happen. He has a plan for us. The Bible says that eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for those that love Him. We don't always see. We don't always understand. We don't know why we're going through what we're going through at the particular time. Remember the story when Jesus was up on the mountain. He had sent the disciples away across the sea, and He was on the mountain praying, and as they were out on the sea, a big storm came up. They were concerned. They were fearful. They were frightened. All they could see around them was the storm. They could not see Jesus from where they were, but He could see them from where He was. And the Bible says, "And He came to them in the storm." He comes
when we have need. He has a plan for us, and he will come to us. He came to us from heaven to earth, to Bethlehem's manger, to the cross of Calvary, ascended back. He's promised to come again. He has plans for us. And then lastly, he has a place prepared for us. We should be thankful. He has a place prepared for us. John 14, 1 through 6, Jesus told his disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, you may be also. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look over there in closing. Hebrews chapter 11. Just for a brief moment. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, look at verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. This whole chapter is called the Hall of Faith. It talks about different individuals who believed God, took God at His word, acted upon it. God showed Himself strong on their behalf, but some of them, it says, these all died in faith, verse 13, these all died in faith, notice, not having received the promises. Not all the promises were fulfilled in their lifetime, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded, convinced of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, they did not expect and look for the promises to be fulfilled on earth. They realized that there were some things God had preserved and were waiting in heaven. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. He says, there were those who walked by faith on this earth looking for that heavenly home, anticipating it, but they died before it was accomplished, but they died in faith, believing what God had prepared for them. Looking back to the old country, they could have looked back to the old life, like the children of Israel did when they first left Egypt and they encountered some difficulties. They said, oh man, you know, I remember what it was like back there in Egypt. We had watermelon and we had cucumbers and we had onions and we had fish and here all we've got is this old light bread, this old manna. But they forgot they'd been slaves in the old country. Sometimes we get to looking backward instead of forward. The key is the desire. It says they had desire. But now they desire a better country. When our heart's desire is heavenward, then this present world begins to lose its grip on us. As long as what we desire is here, we're not going to desire that which is better. We're satisfied with good when we could have better, and the best is yet to come. If we would learn to get our eyes off of this world, you realize this world is doomed for destruction? It's all going to be destroyed. Everything that we work for, everything that we plan for, everything we build on this earth is going to be destroyed. But we need to get our eyes on the promises of God to that city which is eternal. If we would get our eyes on the things that are eternal, we might just have a better attitude about whose we are and where we're going. Are you thankful for these unspeakable gifts that God has presented us with? Cannot so great, so wonderful, so manifest, we cannot fully expound upon them. There are so much more that God has in store. Are you thankful for the all-powerful God who has loved us and prepared pre-planned for our salvation through that perfect Savior who paid our penalty. For the price that purchased us. The power that sustains us. For the plans that He has for us. And the place He has prepared for us. Be thankful for what God has done. Be thankful for what God is now doing and what He will do. You see, believers have all these things and much more to be thankful for. But if you find that you can't be thankful for these things, powerful God, perfect Savior, the price that's been paid, so on. If you can't be, you can't find any good to be thankful for in those things that God has provided for us, that might be an indication that you're not His child after all. That you can't rejoice and be thankful for the spiritual things that God does for us. All you can be thankful for is the nasty now and that now. You think that everything else is pie in the sky, may never happen. Well, that just might be an indication that you don't know the God that has provided this salvation for you through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That just might be an indication you're not truly born again. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Their heart was darkened. So there are those who had a knowledge but did not give God His rightful place in their lives. So their hearts grew darker and darker toward the things of God. And He gave them over, the Bible says there in Romans 1, He gave them over to reprobate minds. He gave them over to wrong thinking. And then He finally gave them up to the consequences of their sin. Just being thankful doesn't mean you're a child of God. We can all be thankful. But just being thankful for what God has done for you does not mean that you are saved. But if you are saved, you have so much to be thankful for. Say, well, preacher, what if I just don't believe? I just choose not to believe all that stuff. Well, that's your choice. But with every choice comes consequences. And according to the Bible, if you choose not to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's hell to pay. That's what the Word of God says. Well, you can be thankful if you're a child of God today. The least you can be thankful for is that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's the least we could be thankful for. He has bestowed upon us so many other things. Be thankful. Father, thank You for Your Word today, for the witness of Your Spirit. Do Your work in our hearts. There are those here who've gathered. We've all gathered. We're with family. We're with friends. We rejoice in that. We've come to thank You on this occasion of Thanksgiving week to reflect upon all that You have done. But the greatest thing that You have done is to provide salvation from the penalty of sin, which is hell, through faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing we can do except You call upon us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Your Word says, whosoever believeth on Him shall be saved. Saved from that penalty. Saved from that place that is so awful. Saved and preserved for that place, heaven, that is so wonderful. Heaven is ours through a simple act of faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts for Your glory and for our good, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, if you would, please. Take your hymnal and turn to number 530. I trust you can sing this song today and know what